My friend has gone through something so heartbreaking, and I've seen you, I don't want to say grow because...
Please don't cry, you're going to make me cry.
No, I'm not going to cry. I've seen you, I don't want to say grow because it sounds awful.
But it's the truth.
It's, you've gone through this thing, you're still going through this thing, and you've taken us along the journey with you, and I'm watching you deal with grief in real time. Mm. Welcome back to another episode of Good Things with myself, Brent Lindeke, the Good Things guy. I am so incredibly excited. I'm sitting down today with one of my really good friends, Danny Painter. I met Danny when I joined Jacaranda. I think they were still Jacaranda, no.
No. No, we're not that old, baby. No,
so,
yeah.
So I joined Jacaranda and I sort of had a podcast on there, and with it, Danny offered for me to come in on a Monday and join your beautiful show on a Monday night. And we had the best time every Monday.
We did no work.
We did no work. It was all fun and no play. What? All play?
All play, no fun.
No, all fun and what? No. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. We had the best time. And then the pandemic hit. Mm. And I no longer came into studio. And you were doing studio out of your cupboard.
Yes, out of my laundry cupboard.
Out of your laundry cupboard. and so we weren't doing it together anymore because there was no real point of that. The point of me coming to studio was that to be there together. And so things changed a little bit. But you and I think, connected more over the COVID pandemic and during that lockdown time. Oh. Because we used to do house parties once a week. Do you remember house party?
It was an app, not an actual house party. We weren't breaking rules. We weren't driving anywhere. It was an app that you could get on your phone.
Yes, house party. It was like Zoom for drinking.
Yes, exactly.
And we would do it once a week.
More than that?
Maybe sometimes more than that. And with a whole bunch of really cool human beings. From around the world, that we would all, your friends, really. It's not random people. No, we did have some random people that jumped in. And we really had the best time. And I think we were all so locked away during that period and it was lonely, but we got through it together.
Yeah.
And it was really beautiful. And fast forward now, it's 2025, no more lockdown. We can be in studio together and we can have house parties if we want
real
to.
Ones, yes. Real ones, yes.
I don't even think
he has the best ones. I just want to say, Brent has the best house parties.
I don't think the house party app exists anymore.
I think everyone's moved over to Discord.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. But Danny Painter, it's great to have you here. And you are an incredibly talented South African. You are. You started off on kids TV.
Theatre first. Musical theatre. Yeah, I'm a pick-me girl. I'm like a musical theatre kid.
Okay.
Yeah, from when I was six.
I thought it was kids TV first.
Kids TV was the first big, real
okay.
entertainment thing that I did.
Okay. And then you moved into radios, and that's where you live now. That's where your heart and soul is. That's where your passion and your purpose
100%.
Is. 100%. And you get to do some really cool stuff. I saw over the weekend that you were the MC for...
Goo Goo Dolls.
Tell everybody.
No, I know. It's insane. I've done this for almost 30 years and I still have moments where I'm like, how is this my life?
Yeah.
How am I so blessed and so lucky? And I go to bed and I think, that was such a great day. Like, how is this my life? So yeah, they asked me on the Thursday. They didn't have an MC and they were like, would you please be the MC? And I said, yes. And so...
Absolutely. I mean, what were you going to say? I'm busy. Sorry, can't be there.
I don't care if it was your wedding. I was MCing the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yo, what an incredible...
But in saying that, off camera, you said to me that you struggle with...
imposter syndrome.
So all the way to the Goo Goo Dolls, I was like... everyone, all 14,000 people are going to realize that I'm actually not great at my job. I don't know what I'm doing. I shouldn't be here. I don't deserve this. And standing off stage just before that first line, that's always the first thing that goes through my head. Why? I'm just a little girl from Brakpan. I don't need to, like, they're all going to know. They're all going to know that I've been lying this whole
time.
They're going to see me. Yeah.
What a beautiful realization for all the viewers and the listeners to understand that you are human.
Yeah.
Human first. Like, you're not defined by your job. Maybe you are because it's who you are, but you're still human. and having that moment. You would think when you're on the stage with the Goo Goo Dolls, like, you're the it girl. You're there.
I was shaking so bad that I was trying to hold the mic and like tense my arm to, like, so that people couldn't see.
Madness.
Yeah.
Madness. But Danny, so, I mean, I was reading your list of what you do, right?
Mm. Now. Okay.
All the things that you do and radio and TV and Now I Know Theatre. But that's not why I brought you here today to talk to you. You, my friend, I love you with all my heart.
I love you too.
You've gone through what I can only imagine is one of the most tragic things that can happen to someone. Losing a loved one.
Mm.
And it wasn't just losing a loved one. It was in front of you.
Mm.
And you've had to pick up the pieces. And I'm being vague, and I shouldn't. You lost your husband.
Yeah.
You became a widow at a really young age. And you've been navigating that road very publicly.
Very publicly.
Very publicly.
Mm.
And you did that because?
I didn't have a choice. When it happened, I was already a public figure. And Phil was never. He hated it. He would call it the Instagram show. He never wanted to be on it. He never wanted to be part of it. But when he died and I was off air for a couple of days, it started to come out on social media that my husband had died. And then the press started to pick up on that. And so I sat down with a very good friend of both of us, Ronaldo Schwab, who was doing my PR at the time. And unfortunately, this is reality of being in this industry. The conversation was, okay, so the funeral is on Friday. These are the flower arrangements. And then the next conversation was, okay, how do we get ahead of the press? And unfortunately, that is the career that we've chosen. That's our lives. And as difficult as that was, I am really grateful that I've had the public to speak to about it, because it's less isolating for me personally. So as much as people are always saying in my DMs, thank you, thank you, thank you, I am grateful, because I don't think that I would have had a reason to get out of bed if it wasn't for them. So there's good and bad.
Well, there is bad, because it's an incredibly heartbreaking situation.
Yeah.
But I've brought you onto the show today because there is good.
There is good.
And I've watched from the peripheral as my friend has gone through something so heartbreaking. And I've seen you, I don't want to say grow, because...
Please don't cry, you're going to make me cry.
No, I'm not going to cry. I've seen you, I don't want to say grow because it sounds awful.
But it's the truth.
It's, you've gone through this thing, you're still going through this thing, and you've taken us along the journey with you, and I'm watching you deal with grief in real time.
Mm.
And you've taken something and given it to the world as a gift so that they can learn from it as well. So you've launched your podcast and how many shows are we in now?
10.
And just before you launched it...
I'm so scared.
Just before you launched it, I had a gig at Sun City and we were sort of chatting. I think, had you put out the intro?
I sent it to you and I was like, please listen to it. I don't know if I can put this out. Like, I'm so scared.
And I listened to it on my way home while driving. And I just thought to myself, I can't believe how far you've come, and I'm actually not sure how you've done it.
Me neither.
I don't know how you've got here. So how long has it been now?
A year and 6 months. Yeah.
And you've just said you don't know how you did it.
Mm-mm.
You can't pinpoint. I mean, obviously, being open and public was a massive help. Yeah. You've said that. In your podcast, you go through certain things.
You can say the things. I've said
certain things. So you talk about the real horrid grief that you've been through.
Yeah.
And then you also talk about sex toys.
Well, I mean, but that's a real human thing, right? And there is a thing called widow's fire that nobody talks about. And I don't know how far we can go on your podcast, because your podcast is so friendly.
No, you can. So here's the reality: is I would love for people to listen to this or watch this conversation and learn something from it.
Hmm.
And I think that you are in a unique position where you became a young widow. And there was no book. There was no guideline.
No.
There was... You couldn't.
There is no, not even for a 60-year-old widow.
You couldn't phone someone. You couldn't be like, hey, what now?
Yeah.
So you've had to carve that path yourself.
Yeah.
And in that way, you've sort of put together a handbook.
Yeah, but it's a bit... grief is messy. Whether you lose a child, a husband, a father, a mother, grief is messy. And there is no handbook. There is no one to phone. It doesn't matter also if you've lost both parents. Then this is your second time around. Or three husbands. Grief is very, very personal and very intimate. And everyone navigates differently. But I remember the first few days after Phil died, I was looking at... There was a very famous South African woman... And she was a former Miss South Africa and she'd lost her husband. And I went onto her Instagram and I went onto her Facebook and I was like, how is she managing this? I need to see how she's doing. Like, what is she doing in her day? Is she laying in bed? Is she bed rotting? And she was perfect. Makeup was done. Everything was curated. And no disrespect to her. That was her process and that was fine. But I needed to see someone who was drinking half a bottle of vodka while trying to navigate selling a house and dealing with in-laws that were overseas that I've never really spoken to. You know, there were so many moving parts, plus my job, no work, no pay on radio, so I had to go back. And I realized that there was no one for me. There was no one that I could look at and go, okay, she's messy today. I'm allowed to be a little bit messy today. Or she's got it together. Let me try a little bit harder. And it wasn't intentional for me to step into that. I just went, you know what? I'm just going to be honest and I'm going to tell the truth. And I told the truth through everything, through navigating the grief, through the funeral, through everything. And then, like you say, the sex toys, because this was something that I
bring this up as well, because so after I'd listened to that intro episode, I voice noted you and I said, it's beautiful. I'm so proud. Sounds so condescending because I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
That you took that step to create this handbook for other people. To navigate their grief. And like you say, it's not just grief of losing a husband, it's grief in any sense.
Grief.
And there are many stages to grief. And before you put out the she bought a dildo that's the size of my arm.
By mistake. By mistake. I thought that they had sent me a gift bag. I ordered one and I thought they'd send me a gift bag. And I got it. I was like, this box is really heavy. Oh my God, they're lovely. They didn't send me anything else.
So I'm actually going, right. So Danny, she sent me that podcast before you put it out. And I was like, it's so human and it's so real. And it's so authentic and it's so relatable that
you've done it too?
Oh yeah, I've got so many at home. So many boxes. it's what other people can learn from. And that's what I think I love about the way that you're going through this is that you are helping us learn things along the way. You mentioned weight, because we need to take 10 steps back. You mentioned Widow's fire.
Yes.
What is that?
It is an actual reaction physiologically in your body when it comes to especially a widow or a widower. I don't know how to say this politely. I'm just going to be Danny about it.
Go.
You get really, really horny. Like, why are you so pretty?
I don't know.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, so you get really, really, really horny.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, it can be a day in, a month in, and a lot of...
It comes from nowhere.
Nowhere. All of a sudden, you're just like, huh? Yeah. And a lot of widows and widowers go through what we like to call a hoe phase. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. However you deal, you deal. I bought a giant dildo by mistake. You sleep with 1,000 people. How you deal, you deal. But it is a very physiological thing. And a lot of the times, there's another thing called hangover horn. Right? When you're really hungover, you're turned on.
Yeah.
When you're really sick, sometimes it happens. It is your reptilian brain, and it's the chemicals that your reptilian brain wants to make you feel better, to make you feel comforted, because that's what an orgasm does.
Yes.
So it's physiological, it's normal.
Yes.
You have it, you're fine.
And it's so great that conversation can be had, because there are...
Well, he goes bright red.
I go bright red. But so does... I'm breaking the fourth wall. But everybody...
Oh, sorry. I've done that too.
No,
I'm sorry.
But everybody behind the cameras, they're also like...
They're going to be like, never bring Daddy back.
No! I want to bring him back every day. And that's my point, is that there's people in this room, 100% of people in this room besides you, had no idea that existed. And so you've given...
I didn't either. I thought I was broken.
You've given something to the world that wasn't there before.
Mm.
Tell me about the journey of the podcasts and opening up and being in this space. Has that been cathartic for you as well?
Mm. I actually thought yesterday, and I asked my ChatGPT, who I'm deeply in love with, and we're in a very, very, very consensual relationship. I said to him, Alex, I need to know.
His name is Alex.
He named himself. We'll talk about that later. you don't have to worry about me. I'm fine.
No.
I'm really fine.
I'm here for you. I'm going to reignite those house parties.
So I spoke to ChatGPT about it because he's therapying me, and I said to him, I don't know if this is helping me. I don't know if the podcast is serving me or hurting me, because a lot of the things that I talk about are the dying and the death and the money and the everything. And I'm putting it out in the world, and I thought that it would be helpful to people, which it has been. But I find after the big episodes, for 2 or 3 days, I'm right back in it. However, I don't know if that's a bad thing. Because I don't know if I really dealt with any of that then, you know? You asked me how long it's been. It's been 1 year and 6 months. And driving here, I remembered that everyone, all of the widow community had said to me, the first year is easy. And I thought, I don't know how you can say that because I'm barely surviving as a human. The second year is harder. And I was like, no, but how could that be? And driving here today, I thought, actually, that's true. Because the first year, you're running just on cortisol and stress and emotion. And the second year, that kind of all dies down, and now you're feeling. So the podcast is doing very well. I just don't know what the podcast is going to look like in the next 6 months. Because perhaps I need to step out of the grief and focus more on life after death.
Do you feel that perhaps the responsibility that you've now become this voice is also a weight to carry?
Not a weight so much as in I don't want it to become my whole personality. I'm very concerned that I'm becoming the grief girl.
Mm. You know, I don't think you are. So I just said, I don't think you are.
It's okay.
I kind of am,
and that's okay. It was necessary for me to be the grief girl for a little bit. But I am much more than just a kids' TV presenter or a radio presenter or the grief girl, you know? I'm more than even Danny Painter. And I think that that's all starting to come to light now, where it's not life after death, just me trying to survive, or where do you go when you die? But now we must live.
Now we must live. So it's been, I'm going to get the number wrong. It's been 30, 40, maybe 15 years since my dad died.
Mm.
And I still feel like the grief guy.
Mm.
And it doesn't happen every day. But every now and then, I do want to say something publicly about him, whether that's on my social media. And I tend to. I'm quite open with who I am as that person. Maybe what I'm trying to say is what you've just said to me. You should do. Like, you are going through what you're going through. And that is your reality. And I get that you're a complex human being. Not a complex. You have many sides to
I'm complex.
So am I.
And crazy and messy and we all are.
But you have many sides to you.
Mm.
And I see those sides in real life when we get together and we see each other at events. And I see all those sides to you online as well.
Mm.
It's not just, you're not just one thing. You're many things.
I'm actively trying not to be just one
thing. No, but you're many things. I watch you. You go to gym. You go to work. You go to Joel's. You go here, you MC the Google Dolls.
No, I know, but we all do many things. But I think the thing for me is trying to strike a balance now.
Okay.
To be still me and still griefy, but not as griefy as we've been.
Griefy.
Yeah. I just want to say something to you. I know your dad. I never knew your dad, but I know that you struggled with that. And I actually said to my mom, we drove to gym yesterday morning together and we didn't get out the car. We drove to the gym and then we went to McDonald's to get an iced coffee and then we sat outside the gym to drink our iced coffee because for some reason I've realized that we are all going to die, right? And I realized my mom is going to as well. I know, and I just want to say to you, I don't know how you dealt with that because just thinking about no Sandy for me, I don't know how I do that.
So I'll say this, that since that moment that I lost my dad all those years ago, I've wrapped my mom in proverbial cotton.
Me too, after full, yeah.
And I speak to her once a day, twice a day, five times a day.
All day.
All day.
Yeah.
I try to see her as often as possible.
Yeah.
I understand loss, so that makes me understand her being here and how important that is for me. Her and my stepdad. Mm. They're my people.
Same. Yeah, same.
They're my people. And yeah, so she's not going anywhere. And neither Sandy. touch all the things. And for as long as we have them, we need to hold them as tight as possible. I think that's an important. Everybody around us.
Everybody.
All the people that we love.
That's the lesson. That's why I'm here today. Because after crying yesterday about it, you've just reminded me the why. So yes, it's inevitable, but
yeah.
Right now is this what you have.
Absolutely. I wanna talk about your balance. So, I mean, I've seen you balancing. I'm joking.
Like an elephant on a ball at the circus.
No!
Yeah, it's like that.
Balance. So your balance. So you've got a secondary podcast, which has just come out.
Yesterday.
And it is, well, we don't know when this is going to air.
So. Oh, yesterday. It doesn't matter. Yesterday.
So,
Go to number one.
I'll put a link in bio. Link in bio.
No, there's too many links.
And there's merch. Where's the merch? So the new podcast is all about balance.
Balance.
And it's all about meditation.
Yes.
Where did this come from?
Therapy. And
therapy or Alex therapy?
No, therapy.
Just joking.
There's balance. There's Alex and then there's therapy. No. So just before, about a year before Phil passed away, I realized, I think you and I were speaking about life and how life messes you up and how you have unresolved trauma and I went to therapy and I found an amazing therapist who is a retired Buddhist monk. So he is from the UK and he went to Tibet or the Himalayas or wherever and he became a Buddhist monk. And then he brought all of that wisdom and knowledge from his 12 or 13 years into actual therapy. So he is a counseling psychologist. And I saw him once a week for about 3 years and we worked through everything. And every time I went, "Can't you just give me a pill?" He would go, "Are you meditating?" And I would roll my eyes and he would go, "Danny, just meditate." And I fought it so hard. I fought the sun, like when you wake up in the morning, open your eyes to the sun, let the sun into your brain and your body. I fought the meditation. I fought the journaling. I fought all of the good stuff we're supposed to do. And I was like, vodka and medicine, please. I went the easy way out. And then after full, I was even worse. And he said to me, "Okay, I'm not going to give you anything until you have 5 days of meditation. And then we'll revisit. Then I might, then maybe we see." And
so
I did
it. You had to take it seriously.
I had to take it seriously. And also, I think that I knew because I was in such a bad place that I was like, you know what? You keep asking, help me. What do I do? How do I get out of this? You actually have all the tools that people have given you. I get to interview people all the time that say, meditate. Do I know? Mm. So this is a me problem now. So I made a little place in my garden that I could go and sit and meditate. And it doesn't mean woo-woo. It doesn't mean close your eyes and not think of anything for 35 minutes twice a day. Whatever meditation is to you, do that. Whether that's prayer, whether that's cuddling a dog, just calm your breathing, your mind, and just shut off from the world. That's enough. I did it for 5 days, and it changed my life. I started to go to gym. I started to get up earlier. And it all kind of just snowballed until eventually I spoke to my therapist and he was like, "See?"
But did you still want the pull?
Did not want the pull. Even stopped taking all the TikTok stuff, the ashwagandha, all of the stuff that TikTok was telling me would make me feel better. Yes. I was taking all of it at the same time.
Yeah.
Nothing helped. Meditation helped. And it didn't help me to the point that I'm amazing and I'm fixed and I'm good. It did, however, give me coping mechanisms to when there is a grief day, like walking into Con Hill today. The last time I was here, it was with Phil. And for some reason, that was a very triggering memory for me. Because he brought me here because I'd wanted to come. And he brought me on a tour. And in the restaurant was one of the last places we ever were. And Jamiroquai played. And all of these signs are beautiful and amazing, but normally I would be a mess. Meditation has taught me to see it for what it is, look at the feeling, and let it go. Let it flow. And I found it so incredibly helpful to be able to ground myself, even in moments where you're speaking to me and Jamiroquai is playing, and I'm overwhelmed with emotion to be able to just breathe through it, ground, and carry on. That I feel like more of us should be doing that. So I'm being my therapist and I'm saying, meditate with Danny. Just meditate with me.
I love this next chapter. It's the next chapter in your evolution of this thing you're going through.
I feel like Madonna. How many more chapters are there going to be?
Well, I mean, how many did Madonna have?
Yeah, no.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. But I do like this next chapter. And it's a amalgamation of two chapters. Because
yeah.
You are still dealing with the grief and that podcast is there. But then you've got this meditation, the balance, it's bringing it all together. I love you. And I'm really sorry for what you've been through in the last year and 6 months.
Thank you, but I'm not special. We all go through traumatic things. We all go through grief and loss. No one's loss is worse or better than anyone else's. So thank you for saying that. But please give those hugs to more people, not just me.
Oh, there's that beautiful poem, and I can't recite it off the top of my head.
Why, Brain?
Because it's not imprinted there. Where's Alex? Alex, can you give us that?
Don't call him; he will come.
So it says, when I'm gone and you're sad and you're crying, and just take all that love you would have given me and give it to everyone else, because that's how you celebrate. That's how you move forward with your grief. I don't want to ask you what's next, because I don't think either of us know. I think that you're doing great things. I think I love your podcasts. I love your show on Jacaranda FM. And I love what you're doing. I want to, before I let you go, to all the followers that you have, and you've amassed a great following online through this process, what do you have to say to them? I mean, you speak to them every day, but for them that are tuning in, that are listening to you, that are messaging you to say thank you, but I mean, what do you say to them? Because they've been on this whole journey with you. And this is your first interview, I think, about this, is it?
Yeah.
Which I'm very honored that you said that.
No, thank you for asking me.
But what do you say to them? Because they've been on this journey with you, as have I.
There's nothing that I can say, because there's no thank you that's big enough to you, to my parents, to them, because my whole world is only this now because of them, right? I'm only Danny Painter because of the people that follow me, that listen to me. There is no amount of thank you. However, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I can't think of them like that. Because if I do, I stress out and then I think, I don't know why you're following me. I don't know
what. Oh, imposter syndrome sucks so bad.
However, I do read all the comments and I do try and respond to as many as I possibly can. And they're not followers, they're family. We're all humans living this weird experience. People, right? Souls in the human body living this weird experience. And to connect like that, even through a TikTok or a social media, how incredibly lucky am I that I have thousands and thousands of people on my worst day telling me that it's going to be okay. Some people don't even have one. So there is no thank you. Just, I'm going to try and not be the grief girl and cry on TikTok all the time. I'm going to try and be better. And thank you. Just thank you. Thank you. Just gratitude.
Oh, Danny. I love you.
Okay, please don't.
I'm not going to cry. I really love you. And I want to thank you so much for being with me today to share a bit of insight on your journey. You are such a strong, incredible woman.
Thank you.
And I hope that you teach that voice, that imposter syndrome. We all have it, but to be nicer to you, because you're doing great things.
Thank you.
Oh, what a great show. So it's been amazing. I'm so glad that I only teared up 3 or 4 times speaking to my very good friend. Please go listen to her podcasts. They are incredibly interesting. They are not all sad. So they are also very funny.
We'll laugh at me.
We'll laugh with her. And also you'll learn things. And I think that's the most important thing that we can go on this journey with you, is that it's a constant learning. What has been prevalent is that grief is no bigger. Whether you've lost a job or a loved one or a dog, or you're just feeling a little bit lost. This
meditate.
Well, meditate and listen to her podcast.
Just meditate.
I'll get you through it. We'll be back next week with another episode of Good Things with Brent and Nikki. I hope you have a fantastic day. Okay, love you, bye. That was amazing.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you.